Chapter 11.
It's probably the assistant we saw last time.
Cass whispered, and her violet eyes were wild with panic as they landed on mine. Oh, you're right, I muttered, and I quickly pushed the food through the window for the dragon. Eat quickly, we'll come back for you soon, I swear it. The reptile nodded, and his silver eyes latched onto mine. Even though he was sad we were leaving without him, I could sense his gratitude, and I knew he was okay.
Blar, we need a portal.
Cass said before I could. The little dragon closed his eyes, and a second later, a portal appeared in front of us. The girls and I grabbed hands and stepped through the swirling air into our courtyard. Then the portal closed behind us, and I breathed a sigh of relief to be back home.
Poor dragon.
Master frowned.
I feel so bad leaving him.
He's all right. I smiled softly and put my hand on her shoulder. I could sense his feelings, and he understands what we're doing.
How brave of him.
The elf girl smiled back at me and then walked over and took a seat by the still-roaring fire.
I think all dragons must be brave now, with everything going on.
The little dragons all followed her and collapsed near the warmth of the flames. Bla laid flat on his stomach, and Inga curled up next to his side, while Ufe turned in a circle before he laid a few feet away in his own little spot. Svas climbed on top of Bla's back, pushed on his scales a few times with her paws, and then laid down and closed her eyes.
I think so.
Cass walked over and took a seat.
I'm sure they rarely leave the valley now, since they're so badly hunted. It must be awful to know that men are going to try and steal your babies.
Myra shook her head and pursed her lips.
They're much more noble than I. If I knew my children were being threatened, I would reduce all the Nine Realms to ash.
Yes, but now we have something to help us put a stop to it.
Cass grinned and reached into her satchel to pull out the papers.
Oh, I wanted to ask.
Myra laughed and pointed to Cass's satchel.
Do you always carry so much food in there?
Yes.
Cass answered quickly and matter-of-factly.
What? Really? Why?
What if we become trapped somewhere?
Cass shrugged.
Or if we meet a dragon who doesn't want to trust anybody.
So you keep food in your purse to bribe the dragons you meet?
Only if necessary.
Cass grinned and pulled the papers out of her satchel.
I was glad you had food in your purse for him. I'm sure he was hungry. That's what I thought too.
Cass nodded.
They probably don't feed him nearly enough there.
He certainly appreciated it, I told the strawberry blonde sorceress.
Would anyone else like some meat?
Asta asked as she stood up.
I'm sure we could all use some.
Yes.
Please. I'll be right back.
The elf girl smiled and bounded into the cottage. I took a seat next to the fire and smiled down at the sleeping forms of the dragons. They'd had a long day, just like we had, but I knew they exerted even more energy since they were constantly growing as well. If they hadn't been so tired, I would have made them a nice snack, but I decided to wait until tomorrow and make them a big breakfast instead. After a few moments, Asta returned with our mead, and I eagerly took my pint glass and pulled some of the amber liquid into my mouth. The sweet tang of the beverage felt good on my tongue, and the fire of it warmed my belly.
So, you think we can figure out where the dwarf is with this stuff?
Myra asked, and she gestured to the papers in Cass's hands.
I believe so.
Cass nodded.
I even switched them out so we have the originals just in case we needed his essence.
Is that dangerous? I asked with sudden concern.
No.
Cass shook her head.
Nobody will be able to tell the difference. I made an exact copy.
Oh, good. I smiled. That was a good idea.
I'm not sure if I can perform the spell myself, though.
Cass said, and she looked down and bit her lip.
I've never done it alone. Oh, yes. Your father helped us last time. Right. And it's quite complicated.
Do you think Brayna could do it?
I'm sure she could. We can call and have her do it.
The redhead suggested with a shrug. We can, but I'm still wondering about our plans.
What about them?
We need to get to the dwarf and kill him before he can make and deliver those weapons for the Elf King. But we also know where all the dragon traders are now, too. We'll need to take them out as well, and free the eggs and dragons they have.
Oh my.
Asta frowned.
I can't even imagine how many babies they'll have.
Hundreds, no doubt, between all of them.
We'll get them back home.
Cass smiled.
We always do.
Yes, we will.
I have some questions, too.
Asta asked, and she took a sip of her mead.
Oh, like what?
Well, how does Vinroth fit into all of this?
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows pulled together as she cocked her head to the side.
The Elf King has plans to free him from Helheim, but if he's training dragons to take over the Nine Realms, what does he need Vinrar for?
That's a good point. It doesn't add up.
There must be some piece of the puzzle we're missing.
Kaas bit her lip.
Ira
pursed her lips and thought for a moment.
What if he doesn't want the Nine Realms for himself? Or at least not all for himself. You think he wants to take over the Nine Realms for Vinrar?
Or with him?
That's what I was thinking. I'm not sure that's the case, but it definitely appears the Elf King admires him.
Oh, you're right. I nodded. He certainly looks up to him.
How terrible.
Asta's nose wrinkled.
And what about the Frost Giants? Yes, they're involved in this too.
Oh, they're going to be after the spell to hatch the eggs. And I'll need to watch out for them as well.
I'm almost unsure where to start.
Kaas shook her head and stared into the fire.
I say we start with the dwarves.
Huh? Why is that?
They're the most immediate threat. They're making the weapons that will be used to try to take over the realms. Right.
Asta nodded.
And without those weapons, the Elf King only has dragons, and I bet even if they're trained, Wrath can get through to them. Yes, I have no doubt of that.
Kaas smiled.
They're so intelligent, and I'm sure they don't want to do the Elf King's bidding. Not if they can help it, at least.
They're right. I'm sure you could speak to them and get them to rise up against the Elf King.
Hopefully it won't come to that, but if it does, well, I'll do my best.
The Frost Giants are also still making their plans and deciding exactly when and how to strike against the king. So they're not as impending of a threat.
The dwarves have until the end of the summer to get the weapons done.
Yes, but we can defend against the Frost Giants and the elves if we need to. Those weapons are another story.
That's true.
Kaas nodded.
The dwarves are making them, and they're masters of enchantments. There's no telling what kind of monstrous weapons they'll be able to create.
I'm sure they'll be incredibly destructive.
Yes, I'm sure they will. I agreed, and I thought for a moment. I think Ira's right. We should find the dwarf first. If anything, that way we'll know what kind of weapons he's making.
Our invisibility spell won't work.
So we'll need to be careful.
We still need to find the dwarf. What's his name again?
Kaas picked up the papers and looked through them.
Ganlith. If Brenna can do it, perhaps we should call her here. It is rather late. Father certainly won't be awake at this hour. He may be wandering around the shop, but not awake. How can he be wandering around if he's asleep?
Asta asked, and she cocked her head to the side.
I'm not sure.
Kaas's strawberry blonde eyebrows narrowed.
Sometimes he walks around and talks, but I know he's sleeping because he looks past me.
What does he say?
Strange things. Once he told me there was a slug in the stew and I mustn't eat it.
Was there?
No.
Kaas shook her head.
We have a spell to ward against those nasty little creatures since they like to eat our garden up. How odd.
I thought it was normal.
Kaas looked at each of us.
Have none of you ever done this?
No. It's a good thing you're getting out of the shop more nowadays. I suppose you're right.
We can call Prana, I said, and I instinctively grabbed the amulet on my chest. We should probably inform her what's going on anyway.
Especially if we're going to Svartalheim first thing in the morning.
No, you're right. I'll call her here.
We'll need Blah to make a portal, right?
Yes. I sighed and looked down at where the dragons were all curled up, sleeping near the fire. I hate to wake him, but it will only be for a moment.
Here.
Kaas said, and she ran over to the garden and retrieved a small pumpkin.
You can give him this.
Good idea. I chuckled and cut the pumpkin up into pieces. Then I gently nudged Blah with my foot. Hey, little buddy, wake up. I need your help. Blah opened one blue eye, looked at me, and then rolled over so Svas, who was sleeping on his back, fell off him and into the dirt. The little yellow dragon squealed and let out a small angry huff before she curled up next to Inga. Come on, I laughed and prodded the small blue dragon again. I've got pumpkin. Blah let out a deep sigh, sat up and licked his lips. It was obvious he didn't want to be awake, but he also couldn't resist pumpkins. Thank you, I told him as I handed him a little orange piece of pumpkin meat. You'll need to make a portal to Prana's chambers. Can you do that? Blah ate the pumpkin and then nodded. I smiled and grabbed the stone around my neck. I held it tightly in my hand and thought of Prayna, and I could feel a slight sense of warmth when it started to glow. Once I was confident she got my message, I turned to Bla, and he closed his eyes and made a portal appear. The swirling air grew larger and larger until it was able to accommodate a full-sized person. But after a few seconds, Prayna still hadn't come through.
Do you think she saw the amulet glow?
Gas frowned. I started, but just then Prayna stepped through the portal, and my breath caught in my chest at the sight of her. The blonde sorceress's honey-colored hair hung down to her waist in large curls that clung to her curves. She had on a silk nightgown that showed off her ample cleavage, and a long slit up the side revealed her fair, toned leg, too. The silk of her outfit showed every curve of her body, and I couldn't help but stare at the hourglass shape underneath the shift. Her light brown eyes were heavy from sleep, and her full pink lips were slightly parted as she stepped onto the grass and looked around.
I apologize it took me so long,
she said as the portal closed behind her.
I had to throw something on. You didn't have clothes on?
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows furrowed together.
I usually prefer to sleep in the nude,
Prayna said, and she cocked a half-smile as her brown eyes landed on mine.
Now this must be urgent if you called me here so late. What's going on?
The sorceress had gone into serious mode, and she walked over and sat on the bench next to me. Well, we wanted to tell you our plan, since we're leaving for a mission first thing in the morning.
And we need your help with the spell.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course not.
Prayna frowned.
You must have found something at the Elf King's castle, then.
Oh, yes, we did. I nodded.
What was it? Communication between the Elf King and this Garnlif dwarf?
Gas explained, and she handed Prayna the papers.
And there's also some documents about all the dragon dealers who responded to the king's request for trained dragons. I see.
Prayna sighed as she looked over the papers.
Have you found out what the weapons will be?
No, not yet. I shook my head. Nothing in those papers outlines it.
I've read over them a few times, and I couldn't find anything. Not even something hidden magically. These are the originals. Of course.
Gas nodded.
I left the copies with them. Good girl.
Prayna grinned. I hadn't been sure about Gas's choice earlier, but Prayna seemed to think that was the best way to do it, and I trusted her judgment completely, especially about dealings with magic.
I thought we might need some of Garnlif's essence to perform the spell. We certainly will.
Prayna agreed, then she let out a deep sigh.
I'm still concerned about those weapons. That's our plan for tomorrow. Is it?
Prayna asked as she looked at the redhead.
Yes, we're going to Svartalheim first thing, which is why we had to call you out so late, so we have the map for tomorrow.
I do apologize for dragging you out of bed, I said, but then I thought about her saying she slept in the nude, and my cock nearly grew hard right then.
Oh, it's quite all right.
Prayna waved her hand dismissively.
I'm happy to help whenever. And it's good you called me now, because tomorrow is a busy day for the council. It is. Do you have a lot of citizens to see? Hundreds. Oh, that's right.
Cass nodded.
Tomorrow is one of the days of the year where people in the country travel into Asgard to see the council. I'm sure you'll be busy all day. We always are.
She smiled.
But I'm more than happy to assist you all tonight. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think we just need the spell done so we have the map. That would be a great help. And if you'll pass on the information of our travels to Bear and Rinbar, of course.
Yes, of course.
Prayna nodded.
I would love to go with you, but with tomorrow being so busy, I'm afraid I cannot pull myself away.
It's all right, I told her with a smile. We completely understand. Your council duties come first.
They do. Sometimes I wish I could leave my position as you did, Ira. I haven't left it for good. Only until the dragon trade is brought to an end. Of course, I just mean it must be nice to be able to pursue something you believe in. You don't believe in the work of the council? I do, I just think putting an end to the dragon trade is more important than the work I do now. My work is important, of course, it helps many people. However, it's not the same.
Maybe one day you can join us for longer. But for now, we understand you have a lot to do with the council.
I appreciate that.
Prayna said, and she held up one of the pages.
Now, let's get the spell done for you.
Cass moved to sit by Prayna, and the two of them chatted while they worked. Then my strawberry blonde sorceress retrieved all the items Prayna needed for the spell, and I watched as they worked together. It was hard to take my eyes off Prena with how beautiful she looked. But Cass was gorgeous, too, and her violet eyes lit up as she watched Prena work. While they finished the spell, I finished my pint of meat and then poured another. It had been a long, strange day, but we'd managed to free more dragons and take out more dealers, and that was all that mattered. We also got all the details we needed from the king's dungeon, which meant we were officially one step ahead of these assholes. We knew what they were planning. Now we just needed to know the details of it. I sighed as I thought about the Elf King wanting to free Vinrar. It made me sick to think about anyone admiring the dragon-torturing bastard, let alone the king of another realm. If Vinrar was to get out of Helheim, there was no telling what kind of havoc he could wreak on the Nine Realms, and I couldn't allow that to happen. We needed to put an end to this before the Elf King was able to put his plan into motion. As I drank my second pint of mead, I stared up at the stars and breathed in the fresh Asgardian air. The little dragons had all fallen back asleep next to the fire, and I smiled and shook my head at their sleeping forms. They were all sprawled out with tails and arms and legs strewn everywhere. Ufe was the only one who had any space of his own, but he'd flipped over onto his back and was snoring lightly. They were all incredibly adorable, but more than that, they were sweet, talented, and they were mine. The dragons seemed to have their favorite of the women, it was true, but they still saw me as their leader. Even Blah, who constantly had an attitude about doing anything, knew I was in charge. Most of the time I let his antics slide, but if I ever needed him to be serious, I could count on him to do it.
All right,
Prena said after a while.
The map is finished.
Thank you. I smiled and looked at the large piece of paper Cass held up.
This should lead us right to him.
I appreciate you coming and doing this for us in the middle of the night.
I'm sure Cass could have done it on her own.
Prena smiled.
She's better than she gives herself credit for, but I'm glad you called me. It is late, though. It is. I need to be up before dawn tomorrow. I should get going.
I'm going to need to bribe Blah with more pumpkin. I chuckled and grabbed some of the pumpkin I'd cut up earlier. Then I gently pushed on the little dragon with my foot. He sighed, sat up, took the pumpkin, and glared at me while he ate it.
Thank you,
Prena told him nicely, and she bent down and kissed his head. As she leaned forward, her full breasts bounced slightly with the movement, and I couldn't help but stare at her.
Bye, Prena,
Asta said, and her voice drew me out of my own thoughts.
Yes, goodbye.
Cass waved.
I will see you all very soon,
Prena said, and she turned to look at me.
Be careful, and take care of them all.
I will.
I know you will.
She smiled and stepped through the portal back into her chambers. After the portal disappeared, Blah glared at me until I gave him one final piece of pumpkin, and then he laid back down with the other dragons and started snoring again.
We should probably get some sleep, too. We have another busy day tomorrow. We do.
Asta smiled at the redhead.
I know you said you wouldn't mind waiting because of how busy we are, but have you thought anything about the wedding? What about it? Where it will be, what kind of flowers, what kind of dress? Oh, yes, I thought about all those things. Really? What have you decided? Well, I want a traditional white gown.
The warband leader answered, to my surprise.
And Asgardian flowers, of course. Whatever's in season right then. There is one thing I wasn't sure about, though.
What's that? I asked, and my stomach tied into knots, thinking about her being nervous about the wedding.
I'm hoping we can have the ceremony here,
Ira said, and she bit her lip and looked at me with glistening green eyes. Here? In the courtyard? I asked, and I glanced around at the small space.
We won't have a lot of guests, but I'd like to get married in the place I now consider to be my home.
Hearing her say that made me so happy, I would have said yes to anything at that moment. From the first time I brought Cass back here, I wanted her to feel like my home was her home, and I was happy to know all my women felt this way now. And, judging from the way they were snoring, clearly the dragons felt the same way. I would love for us to be married here, I said with a broad grin.
Good.
Iris smiled, and a faint blush graced her pale cheeks.
All right. Enough wedding talk. Let's get some sleep.
Yes, I agreed, and I finished the last of my second pint of mead. The girls and I each picked up one of the sleeping dragons to carry inside, and I was shocked at how much Bla seemed to weigh now. When I had him on my shoulder, he usually held some of his own weight, but now he was all sleepy, dead weight, and I realized just how large he'd gotten. When he'd first hatched, he could fit inside my satchel, but now I could barely fit him in my arms anymore. I had to throw him over my shoulder, and he let out a sleepy little sigh as he settled in against me. I shook my head as I thought about what it would be like once he got even larger. He'd grown exponentially just in the few months we'd been together, but he was still small enough to pass for a dog right now. Soon he'd be bigger than my cottage, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with him then. I had a good amount of property, so I'd be able to make him his own home if that's what he wanted, but I'd miss carrying him inside like this. So I smiled and slowed my steps as I savored the feel of his warm, scaly body against me. Once we were inside, I set him down at the foot of the bed, placed an already burning stick into the fire pit so he'd stay warm, and squeezed in between my women. I had Kaas on my right and Ufe next to her, while Ira and Asta were on my left. Svas curled up in Ira's hair, and Inga laid on Asta's belly. Bla didn't stay at our feet very long. After a few minutes, I felt him squeeze his little body up between Kaas and I until his head was pressed against my chest and the rest of his body ran down the length of mine. I smiled as I thought about my dragons and my women and how far we'd come. We still had so much work to do, but it was amazing to think we'd only known each other for a few months and we'd already managed to build such a strong, unique bond. The girl's heavy breaths filled the air, and soon enough I found myself drifting off to sleep, too. I startled awake some time later, and I sat up and felt the cool air on my slick chest. I had another dream, but I couldn't remember what it was about. A quick glance outside showed it was still dark, but I wasn't going back to sleep after that. So I carefully pried the girls and dragons off me and went outside. The cool night air felt good on my naked chest, and I walked over to the grass and lay down. The dew melted against my back as I stared up at the dark sky, and I pulled in deep breaths and tried to remember what my dream was about, but nothing came to me. After some time, I closed my eyes again to try and get back to my dream.
"Roth?"
Asta whispered, and I opened my eyes to see her standing above me.
"Are you okay?"
Yes, I'm fine," I said, and I sat up and shook my head. The sun was suddenly shining, so it must have been morning, and my women were gathered around me in a concerned-looking circle.
"Did you not like sleeping with us?"
the sweet elf girl inquired with a small frown. No, that's not it at all," I chuckled and stood up. "No, I had a dream last night."
"What about? Were you a dragon again?"
I can't remember," I told them with a shake of my head. "But I woke up in a sweat, and I just needed to move. I came out here to try and remember, but I still couldn't." Kaas pursed her lips and looked at me.
"Maybe you're not supposed to remember right now. Maybe that's not what's important. Yes?"
Asta nodded.
"How did the dream make you feel?"
"Feel?" I asked, and I narrowed my eyes as I thought. I felt... a sense of urgency?
Maybe that's all you needed to feel right then.
Ira shrugged.
"I'm sure the dream will come to you when it's ready. Isn't that how magic works? Kind of."
Kaas smiled.
"I think Ira's right. You'll know what the dream was about when it's the right time."
"Oh, thank you," I told my women.
"We made you breakfast."
"You did?" I asked. And part of me was excited because I was quite hungry, but the other part of me was nervous. Because none of them were very good cooks.
"Yes."
Asta nodded.
"We had the dragons help."
"How did they help?"
"We held up spices and they nodded or shook their heads if they thought they should go in."
I nodded as I stifled a laugh. "And how did that work out?"
"Better than I originally thought it was going to."
"Good," I grinned. "Let's eat." Even if my girls weren't the greatest cooks, and the dragons had probably added all the wrong ingredients, I was still going to eat their breakfast all the same. I was just happy they'd cooked for me. We made our way over to the fire, where Blar and the other dragons waited impatiently for their breakfasts. The little blue dragon sat near the flames and glared at us as we walked over. It was obvious I was the target of his wrath, too, because he wouldn't take his eyes off me. "I'm sorry," I told him with a laugh. "We can eat now. I'm up." Blar looked up at the stack of bowls on the small table near the fire, and then to the pot that sat on the ground a few feet away, but the girls had been smart and covered it up. I was sure Blar could still get into it, but the lid was heavy and loud, and we would have heard his attempt to steal breakfast before it was dished up for him.
"Here you go."
Cass chuckled and dished them all up bowls. Before the bowls even hit the ground, Inga, Svaz, and Blar had their heads in them, and their little tails swished back and forth as food flew out the sides of the containers to land on the grass around them. Ufe smiled up at Cass as she set his bowl down, and then he leaned down and took a small bite. He chewed slowly as he looked around and enjoyed the sound of the morning in the courtyard. Birds chirped in the fruit trees, and squirrels ran to and fro looking for food to hide. The sun had just made its appearance over the horizon, judging from its position, and it lit up the sky with the beautiful white and blue hue of the morning time. I sat down and took the bowl and cup of tea the girls offered me, and then I carefully inspected the food. The bowl was filled with oatmeal with fresh peaches and apples cut up on top, and it smelled delicious. It wasn't anything fancy, but it looked good, so I picked up a spoonful and put it into my mouth. I sighed as I let the flavors wash over my tongue. It was sweet and delicious, and I could tell they'd added cinnamon, honey, and a few other spices.
"Do you like it?"
Cass asked in an eager tone, and she bit her lip to hold back her excitement. "I love it. It's delicious."
"It is good. We should let the dragons help more often.
I think I prefer to leave the cooking to Rat for the most part, but every now and then we'll be sure to make something. Blah was the most helpful. He chose all the seasonings."
"It's good, little buddy," I told the small dragon, but he didn't look up from his bowl.
"I hope I didn't feed them too much."
Cass pursed her lips as she watched them eat.
"I know we need to leave after breakfast."
"We do," I nodded. "I'm sure they'll be fine, though. They need the energy."
"I just worry about making them tired."
"It seems like they're always tired, no matter what we do."
Ira shrugged.
"That's true."
"They're growing all the time." I smiled fondly at the little dragons eating their food. We were all quiet for a few minutes as we ate our oatmeal and drank some of Asta's freshly brewed tea, and I breathed in the crisp morning air and enjoyed the feel of the fire on my feet. After we finished breakfast, we all got ready to go to Svartalheim, and I reminded the girls to wear dark or neutral colors so we could blend into our surroundings, since we couldn't use our invisibility spell. I put on a pair of dark brown pants, a black shirt, black boots, and my weapons. I also made sure to fully braid my hair and tie it in a bun at the back of my head, so there was no way it could fall out and get in my eyes. Once I was ready, I left the girls to finish up, and I grabbed Blar's armor and took it out to the fire where the dragons were playing in the courtyard. "Blar!" I called out as he and Inga flew around in a whirl of blue and red. "Come here! I want to put your armor on." The little dragon pulled away from his playful opponent and landed in front of me a second later. Then he lifted up onto his back legs so I could put the armor around his torso and strap it in place. The metal expanded as soon as it was on him, and I was astounded at how well it fit him. Ramir really was incredibly kind and thoughtful, and we were lucky to have him on our side. After a few minutes, the girls all came out of the cottage, each in one of my tunics. I shook my head and smiled at how adorable they looked. I knew they didn't have many dark clothes of their own, so it made sense they would find some of mine to put on. Ira wore a short-sleeved black tunic that showed off her toned arms and legs, and her long red hair was pulled back into two thick braids that hung down her back. Her sword was on her hip, and a dagger was strapped to her thigh with a piece of leather. She had on a simple steel breastplate and forearm guards, and she looked like the badass warrior she was. Asta also wore one of my black tunics, but hers was long-sleeved. She'd rolled up the arms so she could put her forearm guards on, and her long, fair legs were on full display for me to see. Her dark armor almost blended into the tunic, which only made her look much more mysterious and beautiful. Her sword hung on her hip, and her long white hair was braided from the front of her head all the way down to the back, where it was pinned against her head in a huge pile of white braids. Kaas wore a short-sleeved dark brown tunic that complemented her beautiful strawberry blonde hair, but instead of pulling her curls back into a braid like the other two women had done, Kaas pulled them up into a ponytail. Curls fell down the back of her head to land against the middle of her back in a beautiful waterfall of hair. The sorceress had on the steel breastplate I'd bought for her over the tunic, and the forearm guards to match. Her dark brown sandals matched the tunic, and I was happy to see a dagger was also attached to her hip. Ira must have convinced her to get one. Each of them looked absolutely stunning in their armor, and what made them even more beautiful was that I knew it wasn't just for show. They were badass warriors who were ready to take on whatever came their way. "All right," I said once everyone was ready. "We can't use our usual invisibility spell, so everyone needs to be extremely careful and stay close."
"Right."
Kaas nodded. "Stay near me and make sure you're as quiet as possible." I looked down at the dragons. "No leaving my side unless I tell you to, got it?" The little dragons all nodded, and I could feel the determination radiating from them. They knew this was serious, and they weren't going to let me down. "Let's go." I smiled and held out my hands for the girls. Svaz scurried up Ira's leg all the way to her shoulder and sat on the edge with focused pink eyes. Inga flew up to land on Asta's shoulder, and the little red dragon narrowed her purple eyes as she stared ahead. Kaas bent down and picked up Ufe to set him on her shoulder, and the little dragon held on tightly and pursed his reptilian lips. Bla flew up into the sky, closed his eyes to create a portal, and then landed lightly with his front paws on my shoulder and his back paws wrapped around my hip. He was too large for me to carry only on my shoulders now, but he still liked to be with me, and I liked it too. I took a deep breath, grabbed Asta and Ira's hands, and stepped through the portal into Svartalheim. Then I opened my eyes to large volcanic mountains everywhere and a deep red-colored sky that made me feel incredibly small. There was nothing around except the mountains and red dirt on the ground, so Kaas pulled out the map, held it up, and pursed her lips.
"What do you—"
Ira started to say, but her words were cut off by a loud sound in the distance.
"What was that?"
Kaas asked quickly, and her strawberry blonde eyebrows pulled together with confusion and concern. The loud noise rang through the realm again, and I knew exactly what it was. That was the sound of a dragon crying out in pain.